Welcome to the podcast of Kingsway Community Church, a community inspired by love to live differently. If you'd like to connect with us online, join us at one of our churches, make a financial contribution, or discover more about Kingsway, head to www.kingsway.org.au or download the Kingsway app by simply searching Kingsway Community Church in your app store. We pray that this podcast will inspire you with God's incredible love to live differently.
So great to have Mim and Andrew share with us this morning. And, you know, there's so much about, and I'm grateful, so grateful, because we were kind of really praying this morning and thinking, oh, for those of you who don't know me, by the way, I'm Jen, just on team here with the rest of the guys. Going back to what I was saying, this morning when I got up and I was praying, you know, I was just really mindful of, you know, following on from last week where Dave was talking about being, you know, single-minded and focused, and we were talking about that this week, and, you know, there's a lot of words that get thrown around about calling, yeah, you know, you're called, and you know, a lot of people think that calling is like a vocation, you know, like I'm a pastor of the church, and my calling, in a sense, is, you know, to pastor a church. And that's somewhat true, but actually Kingsway is that just the vehicle that God uses for me to be able to facilitate who He uniquely created and called to be in this setting. And what I love about what Mim and Andrew bought, there were so many elements, but what I love about what they said this morning was actually that God is just using who they are to bring hope into the lives of other people. And what I also love about what they said is actually it includes the whole family. You know, it's not divisive. That together they are all part on the journey, and the purpose of what God is doing in their lives is outworked, yes, in Books of the Sea, but my sense is actually the purpose is much bigger for them. That their purpose is that they are journeying and trying to live a life of obedience like the rest of us, to hear the voice of God and to respond in the areas and the connections that God has uniquely positioned them to move in. But it's interesting, you know, that there's always a sacrifice, a surrender, a sense of surrender to the calling that God has on our life or the thing that He's talking to us about. And I actually think that that's the single focus, that's the area, that's the defining point, you know, when God is talking to you about something specific, whether it be in our families or in the areas that the Lord has us working in, or you know, the challenge for all of us is that we are devoted and believing that God has us here for a purpose. We're not just some random, you know, creation that is here for no purpose. That in all stages of our life, that the Lord is orchestrating something amazing and inviting us into an incredible adventure. And I would assume, if you would talk to both Andrew and Mims, that actually the journey for them in surrendering and the you know, the small steps for them have all been worth it. Because what it is actually by stepping into a place of faith, they've allowed the Holy Spirit then to show them a glimpse of the power at work within their lives. And in their ordinariness, God is glorified. And His name is made known. So following on, I was a little bit concerned last week when Dave put the curly video on, and I kind of leaned across to him and I said, where are you going with this, seriously? You know, that there's a sense that the bigger idea of what, you know, Dave was sharing with us last week is this understanding that that our lives have purpose. There's a sense of meaning, and that for us we need to discover, okay, what is that single focus or the meaning that we... and how do we begin to understand that? And Dave mentioned this week when we were talking that for him he's in a unique situation because part of his study this year is around Bible college, where actually one of the things that they have the leaders doing at Arrow is actually to define what their purpose is. And my thought is, you know, in a sense, for a lot of us, we never really stop to even ask that question. You know, what is it that the Lord is speaking to you about in this particular season? What is it that the Lord is challenging you with? And then this week, the passage of scripture that I was given was actually from Matthew 6, 19 to 24, about storing up treasures in heaven. You know, all of us have something at the center of our souls that function as a key to us understanding purpose. It's a thing that creates meaning in our lives. It's that thing that we have decided that if we can get this or keep this, then all is well in my soul. My life has a sense of meaning or purpose. And as I was thinking about this, Brett, my husband, would be very proud of me because I thought about, you know, that character Gollum in Lord of the Rings, which he, when it came out, he would quote that in his sermons nearly every week until I said, okay, that's enough, seriously. As you know, Gollum became actually obsessed with the ring because what? It promised him what? It promised him a sense of power. And with power for him came what? A sense of purpose. But the more he clung to it, the more actually it deteriorated his soul. And I was thinking this week about this cautionary tale that maybe for us also it gives us a glimpse of understanding actually, and help us to realize that for many of us, we can also have an unhealthy fixation of things like that ourselves. In trying to understand what is it in our lives that brings a sense of meaning and purpose. You know, this was also true in Jesus' day. And so I want to use this passage of scripture in Matthew 6:19-24. And it's a passage of scripture that actually is between the Sermon on the Mount. So the Sermon on the Mount starts in Matthew 5 and goes on to Matthew 7. And it's actually right in the middle of the Sermon of the Mount. And it actually points to the fact that the people Jesus was speaking to at the time had the wrong view about material possessions or a sense of they were trying to understand meaning or a purpose in regard to their lives. Because the purpose was really the thing that was going to drive their decisions. And so Jesus speaks into it like this. I think we have it on the... So this is from Matthew 6, 19 to 24. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you can be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Challenging passage of scripture, yeah? So what is it when I was looking at this particular passage of scripture and trying to understand the meaning of it in the context of the fact that this was part of the Sermon on the Mount? It was part of what Jesus was instructing the followers that some of the behaviors or some of the things that they had to be really mindful of in regard to being able to live a kingdom life. And so there was instruction in Matthew 5, in Matthew 6, and in Matthew 7 about how to live a life of righteousness. And so this passage of Scripture really looks at those big chunks. The first chunk is, do not store yourselves treasure on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasure in heaven. So what is heavenly treasure? So if we go back and we look at the Scripture before this particular passage, it's talking about stuff like righteousness and giving to the poor. It talks about prayer, the Lord's Prayer. It talks about fasting and faith and love and interaction with others. Kingdom values, the things that we need to continue to be cultivating in our lives as we strive to live in obedience to who God has called and created us to be. But for what? What's the purpose of kingdom values? What is the purpose of us living a life that is set apart? For what reason? And the hint is, for me, the connection that when I looked at this is in the second part where it says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? I thought about this and I thought about the fact that I wonder in this passage how closely this is linked to Matthew 5, where Jesus talks about, you are the light of the world, a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Let your light shine. So why? So that others may see your good works and give glory to your Father that is in heaven. You know, it's interesting to me that this particular passage of Scripture follows on from that passage in Matthew 5. And it's interesting that Jesus talks about the eye being the lamp of the body because the eye determines what we see and what we focus on. And what we see or what we focus on then influences, shapes, and drives us. And the illustration we've heard and the testimony we've heard this morning is that I love what Mim said this morning, is that even though the reality was uncertain for Mim in the challenge of stepping out in faith, she had no idea how this was going to end up. What drove her was a determined focus. That she didn't have the answer, but there was a God in heaven that did. And the truth is the fact that God has created us for what? For good works. In all of our lives, in our families, in our workplaces, in every area of our life, that we continue, that we would be focused on the truth of who we are, on the promise of who God is, on the promise that God is using you, on the treasure of what He's doing in your life now. In your families, in your conversations, in all that God is doing, you are a treasure. You are God's treasure. And He seeks to continue to create good works in us, or for us to walk in the good works that He's created us to do. It says it in Ephesians, that we're created for good works. But you know, often in my life, when my focus isn't on understanding and the truth of understanding who God's called and created me to be, then fear enters in, then doubt enters in, then uncertainty enters in. And the truth of the matter is that I need to keep my focus, my focus completely on God, because otherwise I think for me the distraction is just as easy as it is for everyone else, because other things then fill my soul. Other things then become the answer to the questions I have, the hurt that I have, the pain that I have, the uncertainty that I have, the fear that I have. Who's answering those questions in your life? Because I promise you that Scripture, you know, God has given us Scripture. It says in Hebrews, for the Word of God is living and active. It's not dead, it's alive. Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing into the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts of, of the heart. Sorry. So that's the second part in this passage. The first challenge is actually to store up. What does it mean for us to store up treasures in heaven? Are you aware of the treasures that God is storing up in your life and how they're being worked out? The second is, what are you focused on? And the third is surrender. You know, it's this passage of Scripture, again, is pretty straightforward. You can't serve God and money, yeah? It's not going to work. It's undivided. I think this passage of Scripture is both a challenge and an incredible invitation and adventure that we're invited into. It's a challenge because it should make us stop in our tracks and cause us to think about actually what is driving and shaping us. And for all of us, it's going to be different. But the interesting thing for me is actually the clear link that Jesus makes to the love of money and our temptation in our environment, in our culture, to be devoted to that more than being devoted to God. And maybe this week I was thinking, because money provides safety, yeah? When God calls us into security, money provides us safety. It gives us a sense of significance or purpose. It gives us choice. It gives us power. And in many cases, it actually provides us with a sense of control over our own lives. And sadly, I think that money can also lead us away from the good works that God wants us to do, if we're not mindful of the way that it's outworked in our life. I want you to have a look at this picture. There's a passage, there's a character in Scripture. This is entitled, it's an artwork that's entitled Christ and the Rich Young Ruler by Henrik Hoffman. Have a look at that for a second. What do you look at when you see, when you look at this picture, what do you see? What's Jesus inviting the rich young ruler into? Let me quickly read while you have a look at that picture. What Scripture says in Matthew 19:16-22. Just then a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" And Jesus replied, "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied, "There is one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments." "Which ones?" he inquired. Jesus replied, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." And the rich young ruler said, "Well, all of these I've kept." And the young man said, "What do I still lack?" And Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. You know, there's been a lot taught over the years about this particular scripture, but what I love about this scripture is actually the rich young ruler had the courage to at least ask the question, "What good deed must I do to inherit eternal life?" And initially we see in the scripture that Jesus responds to him to live out the commandments that he knew very well. But the young man's additional question of what he still lacked showed that something must have been missing. This question is important that he had. The young man claimed to have done all these things throughout his life, so why the question? What actually was he looking for? What was he on a journey for? What was he looking for? What was that thing? You know, whatever Jesus had been saying to him in that long conversation, I think the assumption is that, you know, that a life that pleases God isn't about do's and don'ts. Christian life is not merely an outward set of rules and actions. Rather, it is the purpose for which you were born that God is chasing down. We were created for good works that we should walk in them. He had ticked the box of the good do's and don'ts. So what was missing? And I wonder, you know, again this morning when I heard Mim and Andrew talk, you know, this idea of living from a life of lack. So here is this God, here is this guy that by definition was rich in their culture. He had it all. But the sad thing is even in that place, there must have been lack. There must have been something he was chasing down. And I thought about this and I thought maybe God wanted to expand his vision. You know, maybe he wasn't set apart just to have wealth. Maybe his life had purpose. Maybe in Jesus challenging him to sell his possessions and give to the poor was actually his opportunity to go on an amazing adventure where he would have an incredible impact on serving the poor. Notice the picture, the people behind. What was God inviting him into? What was the grand adventure that God was inviting him into? And what I was also interested in when I was doing the research with this week that confused me, this idea about perfect. If he wanted to be perfect, he would have to sell all and follow him. Apparently, the word perfection in the Old Testament is the basic idea of undivided loyalty and complete obedience to the will of God. Undivided loyalty and complete obedience to the will of God. Because we know that wealth in and of itself is not the issue. Because we know, because Josephus was at the burial. Nicodemus was a rich man who Jesus encountered. Wealth is not the issue. Obedience is the issue. And in this rich young ruler's life, my question is, where was God calling him and why was finances the blockage for him to discovering the fullness of the plans that God had for him? And the sad reality is that the rich unruler's wealth was his hindrance, because he actually talks about in Scripture that he went away sad. That this challenge, this undivided loyalty was not something at this particular point in time, and we don't know what happened after this, but we don't, at that particular point in time, he could not be obedient to the will of God in his life. Because to sell everything would mean a radical change in his priorities and his practices. How does he let go of his wealth? And I wonder whether it was his driver. I wonder how much of his wealth gave him a sense of purpose and significance. He had standing in the community. Oh, it was a massive ask that Jesus was asking him to stand and to go, if you want to live an undivided life, then you need to learn how to be obedient to the will and the calling of God in every season of your life. It was the thing that influenced, shaped him and drove his decisions. And we can see that because he actually walked away from Jesus. But for others of us, it may be something else. It could be sex, addictions, power, reputation, safety, a sense of comfort. You know, as we take some time to worship, I'm going to get the worship band to come up, and we're going to move into a couple of songs of worship. I just want to allow some space for God to speak to you and to me. What is God pressing on you today? What does he want to say to you today? How does he want to encourage you today? This passage of Scripture is not about condemnation. It's about freedom. The Bible tells us there is no condemnation in Jesus Christ. It's about a grand adventure that God is doing in and through your lives now, but also one that He's calling you to. What is it that God wants to say to you as a mom? Maybe the encouragement He wants to remind you about is the treasures that you're actually depositing in your family and the importance of that. Maybe for some of us in our everyday ordinary lives, sometimes our ordinariness is the thing that drives us. But you know what? I'm absolutely convinced that it's the small steps of obedience that's making the greatest impact in the world. Encouragement. Being there for someone else. Serving. Loving. Listening to the move of the Holy Spirit. And prayer. They're the treasures that God is depositing in and through all of us. And so my question today is, where is God and how is God using you today? And maybe the other question for you is, what's next? What's hindering you? Let's pray. Let's stand together as we worship.